10. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 tonight. Mark chapter 10. This is a passage that really follows naturally from the passage that we just looked at for a couple different reasons. One is that Jesus was teaching on marriage and his will about that. And then the next thing he talks about, he deals with, are children. And certainly those two things are related. But I think even more than that, God is, through the placement of this passage here, is providing a contrast for us between the types of people that come to Jesus and the ways in which they come to Jesus. We had the Pharisees coming to Jesus questioning and challenging. And here in beginning in verse 13, we see children coming to Jesus in simple trust, simple faith. And that's the response that Jesus prizes in people. Let's read these verses, beginning in verse 13, Mark chapter 10. Follow along as I read. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. There was a book that was published a number of years ago, maybe you heard of it, but it was called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Have you ever heard of that or someone talk about that? And it was a collection of essays, but that was the title of the first one. And the guy who wrote that or pulled those things together, he said that, you know, what he found as he reflected on that was that wisdom was not on, at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at the nursery school. And he came up with this list of things that he learned in kindergarten that was all he really needed to know. And of course, some of those are that you should share everything, play fair, don't hit people. You know, that's an important life lesson. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Take a nap every afternoon. And we all wish we could do that, but that is a lesson that we have to learn sometimes. Wash your hands before you eat. And when you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Certainly, we do learn some important lessons at a young age. And I think we see a similar truth in this passage here that God is trying to show us. We certainly do learn of the Scriptures, learn of Christ. We have the capability to do that. People have that capability at a young age. But we see in this passage just a simple picture of children coming to Jesus, people bringing children to Jesus. And we have to ask, why does Jesus include this here? Why did God choose to include this little section showing these children with Jesus? And I think as we look at these verses, we see a couple reasons why this is important for us, why this passage is here, why Jesus presents this encounter. And one of the first reasons I think we see in this passage is simply that this passage is here because Jesus desires for children to come to him. This is Jesus' desire. This is what he wants. And we see that in a number of different responses that Jesus has to this situation. And the first response that we see is the emotional response of Jesus. When we see Jesus responding to what just happened, his disciples are preventing these people from bringing their children to Jesus. He reacts to that after he sees that. It says in verse 14, when he saw it, he was much displeased. He was much displeased. And that same word is also translated with the word indignation. He had indignation. Right? It was a sense of anger that he had. He had an emotional response to the disciples preventing these children from coming. We don't know why they prevented them from coming. Maybe they thought that Jesus didn't have time for just mere children. But we see in his emotional response that his desire is for them to come to him. That is his desire. And we see that through his emotional response, and we also see that through what he says, his verbal response. Notice what Jesus says in response. After we learn about his emotion there that he felt, he was much displeased, then he said, he gave the disciples two commands. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not." So he gives them two commands here, and the word suffer just means to allow. Allow or permit the children to come to me. And that word, that command there, the way in which he gave that command, calls for immediate action. At once, they were to allow them to come. And then the second command that he gives is what does it say in verse 14? And forbid them not. But the tense of that command, that imperative, is a little bit different. That's a present tense command. That's something that should be their response even in the future. Continue in the future. Do not be forbidding them. They must stop and allow them at once, and also continue in the future. So again, Jesus' desire is quite clear. He wants the children to come. And we see that through his emotional response, through what he says, and also through his actions, his positive response to those who brought them. Notice in verse 13, the people bring young children to him that he should touch them. And if we compare the other gospel accounts on that intention, they also wanted him to pray with them. And we see Jesus' response to that as well in verse 16. Look at verse 16. It says, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So we see that his actions showed that this indeed was his desire for them to come. It showed that he approved of those people who brought the children to Jesus. He approved of them. And again, it shows that he desires to offer blessings, not just to adults, but also to children. That is his desire. So why does Jesus show us this encounter that he had with the children? I think, first of all, he wants us to see that his desire is for children to come to Jesus. That is the desire of Jesus Christ. I read recently of the American leader in the Revolution, Patrick Henry. He wrote these words in his will to his family. It is said that he wrote these words. He says, "I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had that, I had not given them one shilling, they would be rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor." So here was a man whose desire for his family was that they would come to Christ, that they would embrace the Christian religion. And that's the desire of Jesus. that children would come to him. And certainly that should be reflected in our desire for our children, that they come to Christ. And not just our children, but children in general. That should be our concern, that they come to Jesus. That is clearly Jesus' desire for them to come to him. There's another reason I think we see why this account is here before us. And that is because not only is this Jesus' desire for children to come to him, but also because children are able to be part of the kingdom. Because children are able to be part of the kingdom, we see this short story given to us, this short account of the life of Jesus. Children are able to be part of the kingdom. Notice the end of verse 14. After Jesus gives these two commands to his disciples, he gives a reason for those commands. He says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." For of such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that we often think of as being in the future, and certainly it is something that is coming in the future, the millennial kingdom, the time when God will set up his rule physically here on earth. But there's also a sense in which, in the scriptures, that God rules. And he does that right now. And that's closely related to what happens when a person comes to Christ. When they come to be saved, they are submitting to God's rule. I think it's interesting that if we look ahead to the next passage here, when this man comes to Jesus and says, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You see that in verse 17. We see how Jesus, or how the scriptures use that term, the kingdom of God, and how it's related to other words. We see, well, in verse 17, the man asks what he should do to inherit eternal life. And then Jesus makes a comment to his disciples in response to that in verse 23. Look at verse 23. He says, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And again, verse 24, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to inherit the kingdom of God." And then notice the disciples' response to that in verse 26. They say, "Who then can be saved?" So we see the idea of the kingdom of God being used synonymously with this man's question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The disciples ask, "Who then can be saved?" And I think it's legitimate for us to, when we think of the kingdom of God, to understand that right along with salvation. Salvation, inheriting eternal life, is submitting to God's rule. And Jesus is saying here that children are able to do that. He says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." People like this, and even including these children that are coming, they are part of the kingdom of God. And so children should not be excluded. Children indeed can be part of the kingdom of God. They are able to be part of the kingdom of God. They can be saved. And oftentimes we find that they are some of the most receptive people to the gospel, to understanding what it means to submit to God's rule. Maybe some of you have heard of the Scottish preacher Horatius Bonar. Apparently, on one occasion, he did a little survey of several of his friends and asked what ages they were converted. He surveyed apparently over 250 of his friends, and of those, 138 were saved under the age of 20. Between the ages of 20 and 30, there were 85. Between 30 and 40, there were 22. Between 40 and 50, there were 4. between 50 and 60, the ages of 50 and 60, of that group that he surveyed, there were three. Between the ages of 60 and 70, there was one. And over the age of 70, there was none in that group. And I think that probably reflects what is true. You know, as people get older, their hearts often grow harder. And but Jesus here is teaching his disciples that it's these children that are able to be part of the kingdom of God. And so they must not be excluded. And we need to remember that as well, that children are at a critical point in their lives. And they have the ability to understand God's word. And as they do get older, their heart sometimes may grow harder. And so we really need to prize those opportunities of youth and take them seriously when they have spiritual questions, when they have spiritual thoughts, when their heart is obviously convicted. They are able to receive the kingdom of God, to be saved. And this passage shows us that children are able to be part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus desires for children to come to him. They are able to be part of the kingdom of God. There's another reason, though, that this passage is here before us. And we see that in what Jesus says in verse 15. Just to summarize that, that is that children display the only way to receive the kingdom of God. So this passage is here because Jesus desires for children to come. He wants us to see that. Children are able to be a part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus also wants to show us through his interaction with these children that they show the only way to receive the kingdom of God. Look at verse 15 again. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What we see here, first of all, is that what Jesus is saying is very important. He's talking about the way to receive the kingdom, and it's like he's underlining that and putting that in bold even before he says it. He says, verily, and that is the word for amen. This is true, what I'm about to say, verily. And even more than that, he reminds them that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. I say unto you, this is true, I say unto you. And then even through what he says, we realize that this is very important. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So failure to receive the kingdom of God as a little child will prevent you from being a part of it, prevent you from entering into it. And when he says he shall not enter into there, he's really underscoring that. That's emphatic. There are two negative words there in the Greek text. He's saying, he shall never, ever enter into it. The way to receive the kingdom is important. But although it's important, the way to receive the kingdom is simple. It's important, but it's also simple. And we see that through the word that Jesus uses, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom. It's something that should be received. It's not something that should be paid for. It's not something that should be earned by works. It's not something that you get by going to church all of your life and hopefully you'll enter into the kingdom of God. It's something that is received. It's received like you would receive a gift. And certainly this is something that requires understanding. I'm not saying that entering the kingdom of God is something that is easy necessarily, but it's something that's simple. It does require understanding of what the kingdom of God is, what it means to submit to God's rule, what it means to believe, what it means to turn from sin. And children are able to do that. Children are able to understand. And the word that's used here for children is a word that is a broad word. It's used even for infants. It's also used for the girl that Jesus raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter. She was 12 years old. Same word is also used to refer to her. But it seems that Jesus was dealing with children who were capable of understanding. To receive is something that does require understanding. And I don't think this is something that an infant child is capable of doing. And for that reason, I don't think this is teaching the practice of infant baptism. And this is one of the passages that's used to teach that. I don't see baptism anywhere in this passage, for one thing. But to receive is an action that requires understanding. And it's also something that should be done the way a child would receive. Notice what Jesus says again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, it must be received the way a child would receive. Do children receive gifts different than adults receive gifts? I think they do. If you give a gift to an adult, not always, but what's the first reaction? Oh, well, let me pay you for that. You know, that must have taken time for you to do that. You know, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know, no, you take that back. I don't want that at all. But when you give a gift to a little child, do you get that same reaction? Probably not. This week I had to buy a snow shovel to clear, or I guess it must have been this week, earlier this week. And I was at the store there, and they had, you know, the kid-sized snow shovel. So I bought a little kid's snow shovel. And I brought it home, and I showed it to Lillian. And what do you think she did? She said, oh, you know what? I don't deserve that. You know, I haven't cleaned my plate for the last 2 weeks. And, I just need to be a better daughter. No, that's not what she did. She said, wow, a shovel. And she ran up and grabbed that out of my hands. I think there is a difference in the way that a child would receive something. And Jesus is saying that if we don't come to God and receive the kingdom of God as a child, we won't enter in. If we don't come to God dependent upon nothing else but Him alone and this gift that He is giving, we won't enter in. A child is helpless. They're totally dependent on something else, on someone else. And that's the attitude that Jesus prizes in coming to Christ. He doesn't want us to come to Him relying upon our own good works, upon someone else's reputation. He wants us to come to Him and receive the gift that He offers. And that is His rule in your life with the benefit of forgiveness of sin and eternal life in the future. And that is yours if you will receive it as a child. And if you don't receive it in that way, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus shows us this account in his ministry to display to us the only way to receive the kingdom. And that is as a child would receive it. So why does God take the time to show us this simple little passage with Jesus and the children? He shows us because he wants us to see his desire. His desire is that children come to him. That's what he wants. And he wants us to see that children are able to be part of the kingdom. Yes, they need to understand. It requires understanding to receive the gift that God offers. And he also wants us to see that children display the only way to receive that kingdom of God, through simply receiving that kingdom, receiving that rule in our lives. So he wants us all to come to him, whether you are a child or whether you are an adult. Adults need to become like children in this matter. We need to humbly come to Jesus, depending upon him alone and nothing else, and to receive the kingdom of God as Jesus teaches here. May the Lord help us to understand what that means. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you offer this gift. And we pray that our hearts would be humble to receive that. Help us to be like a child in that matter. And we pray that you would help us as we lead others to Christ. Help us to lead children as well, to bring children to you, because that is your desire. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.